Man, appreciate that good singing this morning. Appreciate the good offering. They're going to let me know as soon as they get that counted, and I'll tell you how much we raised. And I believe that was the Lord's will. We got there Wednesday, and Caleb cooked out at his house, and he just began to share some burdens and some problems with me, and the Lord showed me right then. That's why I was there. Just to see the need. Because every time I talk to him, how's everything? Great, fine. I told him, I said, son, you got to tell me. If I don't know, I can't do anything. Amen? So I appreciate the help this morning. I know that'll be a blessing because when I left, he was really, really scared about the money situation. So, again, I appreciate it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Are y'all there? Would you look with me at a very familiar verse of Scripture this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's back up to about verse number 7, where the Apostle Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now let's stop just a second. Let's think about this. Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, lest I should get too big for my britches. Lest I should think more of myself than I ought to think. Lest I get to the point to where I think I'm really something. There has been given to me a thorn in my flesh. Was it literally a thorn? I don't think so. But I do believe it was a health issue, whatever that was. He had a problem. That problem was there to keep him humble. Do you understand that? Sometimes that's why trouble comes, I believe, is to humble us. I make this statement quite often. If you didn't have trouble, would you even pray? If you didn't have needs, would you ever pray? If you needed nothing, if you had piles of money in the bank and you were a picture of health and you could fly like Superman, would you ever pray? I doubt it. I have the prayer sheet laying here on the pulpit from Wednesday night, and it's covered with needs of people. That's what causes us to pray. Amen. He said, the Lord has given me a problem. The Lord has given me a trouble. The Lord has given me a trial that I might not get too big for my pants or too big for my britches. Amen. Sometimes when trouble comes, we want to know why. Sometimes it's just us. Amen. Sometimes it's just us. But let's keep reading. And by the way, I don't care who you are, you got problems. Amen. Amen. Did you know rich people have trouble? Yes, us poor folks, we think money would fix everything. It doesn't. Are y'all listening? Every actor in Hollywood has a shrink. Every one of them. Every one of them has a shrink. They all go to the psychiatrist. They've all got a plastic surgeon. Amen. Money don't stop you from getting old. Money don't stop you from getting fat, and it don't stop you from getting ugly. Amen. Somebody help me. Listen, everybody's got problems, but you and I have something special this morning if we're saved. We have the goodness of God, and we have the grace of God. Amen. And the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us to help us through and in our troubles. Now, we talk about going through trouble. Sometimes we're just in trouble. In other words, I think about people like Brother Randy Pike, our missionary. He's had trouble as long as I've known him, and he'll have trouble till the day he dies. But you'll never hear him complain about it. All you'll ever hear him do is brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's finish reading the scripture. Where did I get to? Verse number 8. He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." Paul said, I prayed about this three times. Three times I've asked God to take this thorn out of my flesh, and God does answer prayer. By the way, he always does. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait. Amen. I don't know about you, but I get a lot of that wait. The Lord's been trying to teach me patience for a long time, and I'm not getting it, I guess. In verse number 9, the Lord answered, and he said unto me, watch this, my what? Grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. You need my grace more than you need this thorn removed out of your life. In other words, you need my grace to rest upon you more than you need to be well. In other words, you need my grace to rest upon you more than you need to have money in the bank. You need my grace to rest upon you more than you need health in your body. You need my grace to rest upon you more than you need peace in a relationship somewhere. In other words, God is saying, it's enough, Paul. My grace is enough. That's what I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning. His grace is enough. We sing about it. We preach about it. Amen. How many of you have made that statement, but for the grace of God, there go I? Amen. The only difference in you and the vilest offender on death row this morning is the grace of God. Would you agree? We sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Thank God for His grace. I think that's something we take for granted every single day of our lives. In the old song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, there is a phrase that I want to bring to your attention, and this is what I think our problem is. We sing about grace. We talk about grace, we preach about grace, but when we begin to examine each other's life, on the surface, it would seem that God's grace is not enough. Would you agree? Boy, I got people scared to say amen right there. If you begin to look at people's lives and look at the world going on around you, and I'm not talking about the lost world, I'm talking about saved people, it would seem like God's grace just simply isn't enough. I walk the halls of Scottish Rite Hospital, and His grace doesn't seem to be enough. I hear the prayer requests that I get day in and day out, and His grace just doesn't seem to be enough. But I've got good news for you. His grace is enough. Here's what I think our problem is. That little phrase in the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, says, believe His word and trust His grace. Believe His word and trust His grace. I'll tell you, you can get to a place where you have how much, Brother David? $1,545. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's some grace for Brother Caleb and Miss Jasmine. Amen. Hallelujah. You can get to a place in your life where you have no choice but to trust His grace. I'm talking to some people who have gotten in positions in their lives this morning that were at the point where they had no choice but to trust the grace of God because nothing else seemed to work. I'm talking to Ashley Hofford, who was eat up, and she's in the nursery somewhere. She was eat up with cancer from her head to her toes. I mean, the doctors didn't even give any hope that she would live. But for the grace of God, she's in the nursery this morning carrying a baby on her hip that they said was not a possibility. I'm telling you, God's grace is enough. I'm talking to Anthony Bennett sitting down here this morning using a golf club for a walking cane. And Brother Stacy threatening to hit me with it. Brother Anthony has sat here and cried like a baby all through the service. Hallelujah, Brother Anthony. I'd much rather see you in church crying and praising the Lord than I had you laying in that parking lot with your head busted open like a watermelon. I'm telling you, for the grace of God, hey, this man would be in the grave this morning. How long in a coma, Brother Anthony? 2 months in a coma. He should not be here. Do you understand that? What I'm trying to tell you is you can trust God's grace. You can fully put your trust in the grace of God. We often come to the altar and say, well, I've just put it in the Lord's hand. I wonder how many times you've really done that. I wonder how many times you've really done that. That's easier said than done. I can stand here and tell you, well, it's in God's hand, but I've got both hands on it pulling with all my might. Amen. You say, well, I'm not really worried about it. I'm just trusting God. Half the time we make that statement, we're lying. But you can get in a place where you have no choice but to trust His grace. When I looked at my son, Levi, laying on that metal table in that emergency room in a coma, and that doctor looked at me and said, we don't know when he'll wake up or if he'll wake up. I had no choice. If the doctor don't know, who does? If the doctor can't give you a straight answer, who can? I'm going to tell you who can. Jesus can. If we just trust His grace. You got a situation you need to put in the grace of God this morning. You need to trust in the grace of God to get you through whatever that thing is. Hey, to get that bill paid, to get that body touched, whatever it is this morning, to fix that marriage and to fix that home, you need to trust in the grace of God. Now watch this. The biggest issue in your life, you had to trust God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. For by, somebody say that next word with me. How many can quote that verse? For by what? Grace. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. But listen, with the biggest situation in your life, you were on your way to hell and you trusted in the grace of God to save you. Hey, listen, if you trusted in His grace to save you, you can trust in His grace to keep you. Amen. Am I right about it? Amen. Amen. Thank God for His grace. I'm talking to Roger Bush this morning. I got a call in the middle of the night from his brother and said, you better get to Panama City and you better get here fast. Roger will probably be dead before you get here. 2-3 days, I stood by his bed while he was in a coma. I went to the beach early one morning and prayed till the sun came up. I got back to that hospital, standing at the foot of his bed, and both of my eyes popped open. He shouldn't be here. We had no choice but to trust in the grace of God. We had no choice. I'm talking to Brother Philip and Miss Kay Faulkner, who shouldn't be here this morning. Just since we've known them, let's see, both of them's been diagnosed with cancer. Brother Philip has fell off a house and broke his back. Miss Kay has totaled a vehicle and busted her body up. I mean, they have been through one thing after another. It just seems like every time somebody said, did you hear about Brother Kay or Brother Philip or Miss Kay? I'm automatically expecting something bad. When I got the report from Brother Phillip's good report from the doctor about his cancer, Brother Charles called and said, Brother Philip got his report today, and I'm gritting my teeth. I'm like, oh, no, how much worse can it get? And Brother Charles said, it's good. It's a good report. I said, well, hallelujah. They needed a good report. Hey, it's by the grace of God that they sat here this morning. I'm not telling most of you anything you don't know today, but I just want to remind you, if God will do it for Anthony Bennett, God will do it for you. If God will do it for Ashley Hawford, God will do it for you. If He'll do it for Roger Bush and for Levi White and for Kay and Philip Faulkner, God will do something for you if you'll trust Him with it this morning. I say let's not wait till we're at the place where we have no other choice. Let's not make God our last option. Let's make Him our first option. Hey, before we seek a lawyer, let's seek Him. Before we seek a doctor, let's seek Him. Before we seek professional help, let's seek Him. Amen. Why don't we just, we're so prone. We try everything else first. Instead of going to the source that can handle it to start with. Amen. Believe His word and trust His grace. His grace is sufficient in every area of our lives. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at just a couple of scriptures right quick. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 7. 1 Peter 1, 7. The Bible says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He said the trial of your faith, He said it's more precious than gold. The trial, how can a trial be precious? How can Ashley's cancer be precious? It wasn't then. It is now. It is now. God gets glory all over the country because of what God did in Ashley Hawford's life. It wasn't precious when I got the picture sent to my phone of Brother Anthony laying on the ground in our parking lot. He fell 30 feet off top of this building, busted his head wide open. He was just laying there in a pool of blood. There wasn't nothing precious about that picture. I didn't open that picture on my phone and say, well, glory to God. I don't think anybody did. Nobody said, well, thank you, Jesus. That's just what I needed today. One of my most precious men to fall off our roof and kill himself. That's just what I wanted today. But now, months later, we are standing in the sanctuary of God this morning. And we are singing and shouting and praising the Lord that Anthony Bennett's sitting on the front pew. Hey, listen, he had to go through that trial that God may get honor and glory out of his life. I'm not wishing bad things on anybody, but I'm just saying in the trials of life, God's grace is sufficient. Yes. Amen. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say, I'm going in the valley of the shadow of death to die. He said, I'm not going in the valley of the shadow of death to live. He said, I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going in this trouble, but by the grace of God, I'm going to walk out of this trouble. I'm going into this trial, but with his grace and with his help, I'm coming out and saluting goodbye on the other side. God's grace is sufficient, and it's enough in the trials of our life. How many of you in a trial? That's most of you. If you didn't raise your hand, you just came through a trial. Are you about to go into a trial? Amen. The trying of your faith. The trying of your faith. You know, faith, I heard an old preacher say years ago, and I've come to believe it's true, Brother Atkins. He said, faith is not faith until it's tried. Faith is not faith until it's tried. Does that make sense to you? You say, I've got faith in God. Well, how have you proved that? What have you been through that proved that you've got faith in God? Your faith will be tried. I can't tell you the phone conversations I had with Brother Tommy and his wife while Ashley was going through everything she went through. Every time she went to the doctor, it was worse. You go expecting maybe a better result this time. Maybe we're making some progress, but no. Every time she'd go, the cancers moved somewhere else. And it just got worse and worse and worse. Did you know not only their faith was tried, but my faith was tried? Brother Freddie, bless his heart, early on in that thing, he looked me dead in my face and said, look, let's keep praying. He said, but I've got assurance already. This is going to be all right. I didn't. Maybe because I spent the hours on the phone listening to a crying daddy, listening to a crying mama. Sheila called me one morning. I stood in my driveway for an hour and just listened to her weep. She only said four words. The whole hour we were on the phone. I can't do this. I can't do this. I just kept trying to tell her over and over, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. We've got to trust him. We've got to trust him. I know it don't look like we can trust him right now, but there's times on the surface when it don't look like you can trust him. Like Joseph, when his brothers sold him into slavery, it didn't look like he could trust God. But yet he just continued to be obedient. Then he was sold into slavery and wound up in Potiphar's house. Then his wife accused him of rape, and from there he went to prison. Man, things ain't looking good for old Joe. But Joe just kept trusting God. And Joseph wound up on the throne. And at the end of that thing, he was able to look at his brothers and say, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good. Amen. It's easy to trust God when everything's good. It's easy to trust God when our bodies is okay. It's easy to trust God when our marriage is all right. It's easy to trust God when the bills are paid and there's a plus sign at the end of the checking account instead of a negative. Amen. Everything's okay. Yeah, brother, we trust the Lord. Yes, we got faith in God, but you let them difficulties come. You let those times come when it's out of your hand and you can't see a way. There just ain't no way. You cannot reason in your mind a way to fix the situation. There's where faith comes into play. There's where trusting God comes into play. The old song said, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Go over to Psalms chapter number 34. We still okay? I'll have you out of here in a few minutes. Somebody needs to understand this morning that his grace is enough. If it was enough to get you saved, it's enough for everything else. You understand that? If it's enough to take care of the biggest need of your life, listen, your power bill ain't the biggest need of your life. Amen. I'd rather die and go to heaven with my lights off than die and go to hell with my lights on. How about you? Amen. His grace was enough to keep me out of hell. So I think it'll be enough for everything else. I said His grace was enough for the trials of our life. But don't you look at Psalms chapter number 34 and verse number 17. The Bible said, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their," say the next word with me, "troubles." Troubles and trials, they're pretty much first cousin. They go hand in hand. A trial is trouble. Is that right? Trouble is a trial. I want to point something out to you this morning. When I tell you that His grace is enough, not only for all our trials, but all our troubles, I want you to study your Bible and show me, if you can, one miracle that did not start with a problem. Find me one miracle that did not start with a problem. Every miracle in the Bible came to pass because somebody had a problem. Somebody had some trouble. The very first miracle in creation, the earth was void and without form, and darkness was on the face of the deep. The earth had a problem. And God stepped in and fixed it, and God's been stepping in and fixing ever since. Hey, over 6,000 years ago, God's been fixing problem after problem after problem. How many times has He delivered you out of your trouble? How many times have you prayed and praying feeling guilty because you know you don't deserve help? Somebody ought to help me this morning. You've got on the altar, you didn't even want to pray. Because you felt so sorry for even asking for Him to help you one more time. But isn't He faithful? Amen. I'm so glad God's not like us. We only put up with so much out of our kids, out of our family. You ever got to the point where you said, "That's it. That is it. I'm done." Aren't you glad God's not that way? Man, there's been people over the years that I've said, "That's it. I'm done. I've helped all I can. I've counseled all I could. I've said that. Well, I won't say when, but it hadn't been too long ago. I just made it in my head. I said, "This is it. I've said all I know to say. I've done all I know to do." And sometimes I have to come to that point, because there is a point where I've done all I can do, where I've said all I can say, where my wisdom has been exhausted. But do you know, His wisdom has never really even been tapped. I'm glad, Brother Jason, He didn't say, "That's it. This is your last shot. Don't come back in my office crying no more, because I'm done." I'm glad His grace is sufficient, not only in the trials, but in the troubles of life. My biggest trouble that I deal with, you're looking at. And probably the biggest trouble you deal with is you. Amen. How many of you have ever gotten trouble, and while in that trouble, you knew you deserved it? You knew you brought it on yourself. Amen. Amen. I get in financial trouble. I did it. Yes, sir. Yes. The Lord didn't do it. I remember praying about a situation one day years ago, Brother Hugh. I was in that old bus. We used to work out of short buses at the Board of Education. They'd get done with them. We'd put shelves in them, make a plumbing truck out of it. But it was lunchtime, and I was down in the floor of that bus. I prayed every day during lunch or after lunch, and I was down there praying. I said, "Lord, I want to serve You full-time. My church needs a full-time pastor, but I can't afford it." And the Holy Spirit said, "I didn't tell you to buy that new motor for your boat. I didn't tell you to buy it at Z71. I didn't tell you to join the credit union, by the way." I owed my soul to the company store. Amen. Can anybody feel my pain? And the Lord was exactly right. He didn't do that. I did. I made the bad decision. But guess what? I said, "Lord, if that's right, Lord, I'll sell that boat." And that boat was like a god to me. I said, "Lord, if it's really Your will that I sell this boat, I'm not even going to advertise it." I promise you, this is what I pray. I said, "You let somebody ask me if it's for sale." Yeah. I'm at lunch. I get done off my knees. I get up, and I've got to go to another school, but my bus is out of gas. I've got to go to the bus barn. I pull up at the bus barn. I'm standing there pumping gas in that bus, and here comes Eddie, a mechanic, out of the shop, and he walks across the parking lot. He gets about halfway to me. He says, "Hey, preacher man, you want to sell that boat?" I'm talking 10 minutes after I prayed. Brother William, you remember that? I couldn't believe it, man. My mouth hung open. And I prayed a little prayer within myself right there. You know how you do? I said, God, we really going to make sure this is you. If this is you, Lord, let him not haggle with me. And I priced it pretty good. I mean, it was more than what it was worth. I said, would you give this? He said, will you take cash? You know what the Lord was doing? He was delivering me out of my trouble.
Yes, sir.
He saw my heart that I wanted to serve him in a bigger way, so he made it possible. Even though he didn't go make the loan. He didn't get me into financial difficulty. I did that all by myself, but he got me out of it.
Hey,
I went home, told my wife, said, you ain't going to believe this. She said, what? I said, I sold my boat. She said, you're lying. She didn't believe me till I hooked to it and took it to work with me the next day. Same thing with the truck. Before it come out into the truck trader good, first phone call. Guy didn't argue about the price. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll have your cashier's check this afternoon. I couldn't believe it. It just started happening. Boom, boom, boom. Because I trusted God. God delivered me from trial after trial, from trouble after trouble. In Luke chapter number 22, the Lord told Peter, he said, the devil has desired you to sift you as wheat. Not only is God's grace sufficient in the trials and the troubles, but his grace is sufficient in the testings.
Yes, sir.
In the testings. Some of you are being tested.
Yeah.
Some of you, let me say it again, some of you are being tested.
Amen.
Jason Crow, God, there's no telling what God's fixing to do with your life. There's no telling that the people... those lives are going to be changed because of you and your little wife. But I'm telling you, before you get there, there's going to be a test.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. There's going to be a test. In other words, God's got to know that you can handle the next level.
Amen, preacher.
My wife and Miss Jennifer just graduated. Congratulations. But they were in nursing school. My wife is and Jennifer was. But before they can go to the next semester, they got to pass the one they're in. We want to go higher and we want to do more and we want God to use us more. But hey, we got to pass first grade first.
Yeah.
Amen. But God's grace is sufficient in the test. In the test. Do your children ever test you? Come on. Do your children ever test you? Our grandbabies was at the house when I got home. What day was it? I don't know. Yesterday? I can't keep it. Yeah, it was Friday. Fridays when they were there. And Jonah thought he'd test me a little bit. I said, no, you failed this one, buddy. I didn't whip him, but I scolded him. And you know what? Boy, he straightened right up. He was just seeing how far he could push Papa.
Yeah.
Amen. He was just seeing. You know what your kids will get away with? What you let them.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing how much God's let you get away with?
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? But you know what? I found out His grace is sufficient for the test. People will test you. People will test you. Are you listening to me? The devil doesn't show up with horns and a pitchfork. He gets in the heart of your friends. He'll let them, he'll guide their little fingers on their keyboard. Put something about you on Facebook. If you're not careful, you'll let that little test destroy your life.
Yes, sir.
You'll let that little test get you out of church, get you out of the will of God.
Yes,
I wouldn't do it for nothing. Don't fail. Don't fail. Ask God for His grace. You can tell the Lord, Lord, you know what those people saying about me isn't true. Lord, you know what those people, maybe it is true, but they shouldn't be repeating it.
Yeah, you're right.
Amen. They shouldn't be telling it. Well, what you need to do is just tell the Lord on them.
Amen, preacher.
Get on God's Facebook and tell Him about it.
Yes, sir.
But what you tell Him in private is in private. Amen?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Those tests are coming. Those tests are coming. I've had them. We've all had them. Hey, listen. Not only that, His grace is sufficient, not only in the trials and the troubles and the testings, but in the temptations.
Yes.
He said with the temptation, He would also make a way of escape. How many of you are tempted? The rest of you is lying. Amen. I'm tempted every time I pass a Chevrolet place. Are y'all listening? I'm tempted every night. You know what I do? I'm a Craigslist junkie. Anybody besides me? Yeah. If you've got something on Craigslist, I've seen it. Amen. Brother Robbie is a Craigslist junkie. Yeah, but he does something about it. I just look. I ain't never bought nothing off Craigslist, but I've seen everything on there. I'm tempted every night when I get on there. Quarter horses. Boy. I looked at one last night, Palomino cutting horse. I thought, boy, $6,000? I could finance that. If I bought a horse for $6,000, I'd also be needing a place to stay. But seriously, we're tempted every single day. I don't ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of us have fallen into temptation. Do you know what causes us to fall into temptation? A lack of trust in the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. A lack of trust in the grace of God. Some of you are sitting here today because you have trusted in God's grace through those temptations. Amen. There ain't no telling your past, man. God has forgiven you. God has forgotten it. But that past will haunt you. I saw a little sign. I took a picture of it, and I may build a message around it while we were in Colorado. It was just a little thing you hang on your wall. It says, be careful not to stumble over something that's behind you. Be careful not to stumble over something that's behind you. But that past will hover over you like a ghost. Woo! I mean, buddy, it will. It'll come after you. Those things you used to do, they'll come back. Amen, but we need to trust in the grace of God to get us through the temptations. Listen, and then lastly, we need to trust God's grace in the tribulations of life. In the tribulation. I looked that word up, tribulation. Let me see if I can find that definition. Every one of these seem to be almost the same, but you know what they're doing? They're getting stronger. Tribulation is like trials on steroids. Tribulation is like trouble plus trouble. Like testing plus testing, temptation plus temptation. Webster said that tribulations are great misery or distress from depression or deep sorrow. Wow. Great misery or distress from depression or deep sorrow. I've never lived in a time when people seem more depressed than they are today. More depressed than they are today. When I was young, God help me, it was the grace of God. But boy, I'd preach against people being depressed. I'd say you're wicked and you just ain't right with God. If you got to take an antidepressant, you need to be on the altar. I used to say that stuff all the time until I got depressed.
Yeah.
It's easy to point your finger at something you don't understand and kick it. I have to apologize. I probably offended some people. But I'm here to tell you, in depression, in distress, you can trust in the grace of God. I'll never forget, and I'll close, Brother Todd, y'all come and see if you can find us a song. I'll never forget the day my little sister-in-law was killed. My wife and I came up on the wreck. I had to go tell my mother-in-law. One of the hardest things I've ever done in my entire life. We got in the car and was headed to the hospital, and my wife and I were in the back seat, and my father-in-law and Meemaw was in the front seat. And Meemaw was hyperventilating. I mean, she was just coming undone. My wife reached across the seat. We hadn't been saved long. My wife reached across the seat and put her hands around her mama. And she said, Mama, pray. Mama, pray. Mama, pray. And Meemaw started saying, help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And there was a peace coming in that car. That was tribulation. That was the first time since my salvation I had really experienced that I knew was the grace of God. I'll never forget it as long as I live. That night we came home. We went to bed. My wife was sound asleep. But in her sleep she was moaning. Like she was in great pain. I'll never forget, Brother Anthony, I slipped out of my bed. I said, God, if you don't ever answer another prayer for me, let my wife rest. Before I could get through praying, she was snoring. That was the grace of God in tribulation. I wish I could tell you, there's not going to be any more tough days. I wish I could say, if you'll give a big offering like them preachers on TV, If you'll send so much money, you won't have no more trouble. I can't tell you that. There's going to be trials. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be testings. There's going to be temptation. And there's going to be tribulation till the day the Lord calls us out of here. I can't tell you no other way. Because the Lord said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. We're going to have troubles. But I can tell you this. His grace is enough. His grace is enough to see you through. If you'll just trust Him this morning, let's stand to our feet all over the house. If we could, let's just bow our heads this morning. Nobody looking around. I wonder if there's somebody here today. You're not even sure if you died right now, heaven would be your home. You need the grace of God to work in a great way in your life. You need to know Christ as your Savior. If you're not sure about your salvation, I'd like to pray for you if you just slip up your hand. I wouldn't come to you. I won't embarrass you for nothing. Just want to pray for you. Anybody? I wonder if somebody would be real honest and say, preacher, I'm in a trial. I'm facing the trouble. I'm in the middle of testing. Well, I need God's help. I need to be able to really trust His grace. How about it this morning? Hands all over this building. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning in Jesus' name, Lord God, we thank you for a good day. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for your power. Lord, you saw every hand. You know every heart. Lord God, please have your way in this altar call. Lord, answer some prayer. Give somebody some hope this morning. Lord, there's a few in here I know they've just about given up. Lord, I pray you'd let them see a little light at the end of that tunnel, God. Let them see and feel and experience your grace this morning. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.